Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter, and we'll begin with verse 10. Page 1248, if you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, page 1248, the sixth chapter of Galatians, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 17. These verses we'll read responsively, and the last verse which we will read is the text verse. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And may we pray. Father, thank you so for thy wonderful goodness. We're thankful especially for our Bibles. Thank you for preserving your word and for the fact that we have easy access to copies of thy word. What a special privilege. Now, Father, these times that we meet together in this place are meant to enrich us in thy word. And so we use this evening toward that end. And may our hearts be tender. May the preaching be with power. And may thy spirit settle upon us truly in a wonderful and sweet way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight I'm going to speak not to all of you. The rest of you may listen as I speak to some of you. I'm going to speak tonight on this subject for adult Christians only. For adult Christians only. Now, if you are an adult Christian and you really mean business for God, I'm speaking to you tonight. And as we talk to those people, if you others want to listen, you may certainly feel free to listen in. And I say this before I pray. If I have critics tonight, I'm going to offer you a tremendous opportunity to fill your quiver full of arrows. I'm going to give you an awful lot of fodder tonight, and for you to be able to speak that Brother Hiles is thinking about himself and talking about himself and bragging on himself. So I do want you to be alerted before I start, but I'll be giving you ammunition tonight that you can use for a long time to come. So this will be one of the greatest services you've been in a long time. But for those of you that would like to be spiritual, I would like to talk with you tonight. Some of the things that I say will be repetitious. And I will be giving some events of my life that numbers of you have heard on other occasions. But I want to speak tonight on the subject for adults, for adult Christians only, a sermon just for a few of you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would give us of thy spirit as we try to preach. I pray that you would help me as I speak. And I pray the Holy Spirit shall speak as I speak. And may my speaking be led by him. Give us a real breakthrough among sincere Christians tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to the Bill Rice Ranch, and you'll notice that the animals there have a brand, and you'll notice the brand says BRR. That branding is done when an animal is purchased, owned by the Bill Rice Ranch. That branding means this animal belongs to us. That branding means you keep your hands off of it. That branding means that this is ours. We purchased it. It belongs to us. It belongs to nobody else. The same thing happened in Paul's day for a slave. Now, this is hard for those of us to believe. In this, I started saying lightened age, in this darkened age. It's hard for us to believe in this age anyway. But when a master owned a slave, he would actually burn, like a tattoo, you might say, the symbol of the master on the slave, so that all people, when seeing that slave, would know that that slave belonged to a certain master who owned him. Paul is writing the Galatian people. He looks at the scars from the stoning in Lystra on his first missionary journey. When he was stoned and left outside the city, they thought he was dead. I think he did die. I think it was there that he was called up into the third heaven and heard things unlawful to speak. But Paul looks, as he writes this verse, Galatians 6:17, he looks at those scars still on his body. They no longer pain, but they remind him of a day when he did hurt and suffer pain. And Paul looks at them. He looks at the scars on his body where he was, I think, twice beaten with a cat of nine tails. He sees the scars inflicted by the wounds at Philippi when he was cast in the Philippian jail and beaten there. He looks at the scars when he was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, maybe. He looks at those scars, and he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What he's really saying is this: I have been branded for Jesus. I belong to Him. I'm His slave. I'm sold out to Him. I belong to no one else. I'm totally, wholly, solely the property of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I have these brands to prove it. They reminded him that Jesus owned him. They reminded him that he belongs to Jesus. What he was saying in this passage, when he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, he isn't saying just, I bear in my body some scars that remind me that I suffered for Jesus. No. No, Paul is saying, there was a day that I gave everything to Christ. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day to live. I surrender all. Jesus, I and my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. And Paul is saying, I remember when I gave my all to Jesus. And I recall how He took His brand, just like the man would brand his cattle. Now He took His brand and branded on me His mark, and I belong to Him. The world can see these scars I have on my hands, and they can be reminded I belong to Jesus. The world can see the scars I have on my back as I was beaten in Philippi, and be reminded that I belong to Jesus. And just as the servant was branded as proof of the ownership of his master, and just as the cattle was branded as proof of the ownership of his master, even so the Apostle Paul said, Jesus is my master. I've given all to Jesus. And Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus does the same thing to His slaves that they did in the old days. He does the same thing to those whom He owns that the rancher did, for the cattleman did for his cattle. I want to say this tonight. I want you to hear carefully. When you totally give yourself to Jesus Christ, He's going to brand you. No, I'm not saying that you'll be branded as just that folks will say, he's a Christian. I'm not talking about being branded with the way you talk. I'm not talking about giving yourself away for the way you live. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you give your all to Jesus, He will inflict upon you a brand. Pain will come immediately, just as pain came to the animal who was branded by his owner, and just as pain came to the slave who was branded by his owner. Now, I want you to mark this down tonight. Most of you, this does not affect you at all. Most of you won't even give God the tithe, much less everything. Most of you won't even give God Wednesday night, much less everything. Most of you won't even quit watching your movies, either at a movie house or a home on your machine that shows the movies that you rent somewhere. Most of you won't quit that, much less give everything. But I'm talking to that little crowd tonight who would like to consider giving everything to Christ. Let me warn you before you do, it's going to be painful right away. Let me warn you that the minute that you decide to say, Jesus, I'm yours, I'm all yours, let me remind you that you're going to have some pain right away. So maybe you'd better not do it. Maybe you'd better not to consider this matter. Maybe you couldn't take it. Maybe you wouldn't take the pain. Maybe if you gave all to Jesus and went off to college for somewhere, for example, maybe you'd wash out and go home because the pain of the branding would be too much for you. I want to say this, and this is unusual for my preaching, but I want to say this. I want to warn you tonight. I want to warn you well that before you decide to give everything to Christ, you better consider what I'm talking about tonight. I mean, when that slave decided to become a slave of a certain master, that slave was going to feel the hot iron of branding. And that slave was going to suffer a while. And the branding on that slave would always remind that slave and always remind others who saw him, that slave belongs to a certain owner. Now, God wants to own you. And the truth is, you have no right to yourself because you're bought with a price and you're supposed to glorify God in your body. But the honest truth is, I want to warn you, and I expect you might better consider it very, very carefully. Because just the minute that you decide to give everything to Jesus Christ, then God's going to brand you. God's going to wound you. Now, I'll tell you something. As you see that branding and the scars of that branding in years to come, it'll be a wonderful reminder that you belong to Christ. But God won't let you in this little exclusive group of people who've given everything unless you've been initiated. And God initiates you with branding. And that branding is painful. I'm not talking about an emotional scar. I'm talking about usually God will do something to you that will brand you. Paul said, I bear in my body. He didn't say, I bear in my personality. He didn't say, I bear in my disposition. He didn't say, I bear in my manner. He said, I bear in my body. Paul said, I gave myself to God, and here are the brands to show it. I gave myself to God, and look at the scars on my back. I've been branded. That'll prove it. And I want to tell you something tonight. This little sissy kind of Christianity that's going up and down this country, this little pusillanimous kind of Christianity going around this country, little second class, second rate, that give Jesus an hour on Sunday morning and drop a dollar in the collection plate and honor God, that's as foreign to this book as daylight is to dark. Now, the honest truth is, God is saying, I want everything. But He's saying, wait a minute, you better count the cost before you give it. You know, it'll pain for a little while. And then, it'll always bring sweet assurance that you belong to Him. How many times have you seen a person give all to Jesus Christ and immediately things start going bad? How many folks have you said, it's not worth it. I gave all to God, and now look what's happening. I'll tell you what's happening. You're getting branded. That's what's happening. You wish you hadn't, and you turn back. Why? Because you're not willing to stand the pain of the branding. But, brother, I'll guarantee you that branding on you, listen, that branding on you after the pain is over will be the most precious part of your possession. It'll pain for a while, but it'll always bring sweet assurance that you belong to Him. Preacher, young preacher said to me, he said, I gave my all to Jesus a year ago. And he said, I've had nothing but troubles ever since then. Well, I'm sure that when a slave went to work for his master, he had nothing but troubles for a while. I'm sure when that, I don't know where they branded the slave, but I'm sure when they put that hot iron against his body and burned, literally burned into his body, the initials or the symbol of the master. Sure, that slave cringed and said, oh, my soul, that hurts, you're being branded. But every time that slave would look down and see that brand, that scar, he'd say, I belong to my master. It's his job to feed me. It's his job to care for me. It's his job to give me my orders. It's my job to obey him. Now, what I'm talking about tonight is not very popular. And folks won't come if I announce that I was going to preach this sermon again next Sunday night. Most of you would not be interested in coming. Because you're not interested in giving all to Christ. You're not interested in the pain that has to come. The branding that has to come. You don't want that. But the apostle said, I bear in my body. Now, Paul said, I have these scars and they remind me of my branding time. I gave all to Jesus. 36 years ago tonight, I retreated to the thickets of East Texas. 36 years ago tonight. Now, 36 years ago this afternoon, as far as Mother's Day concerned, Mother's Day 1950, we buried my father. But as far as the day of the month is concerned, my father's buried on the 13th day of the month. But on the 11th day of the month, that's what today is, 36 years ago tonight, about this time, or somewhat earlier than this, I'd say about 7 o'clock, I went out in the woods of East Texas. I can take you to the very spot where I went, where Highway 43 makes its bend around down to the Grange Hall community. Out on the right there, there's some woods that led out to Mrs. Munden's place, Mr. McGeorge's place, two lovely members of our families of our church. And I went out in those woods, and I stayed all night long. If you've driven down the Highway 43 from Marshall, going outside of Marshall on the way to Henderson, Texas, you'd have heard a young man, young in the ministry, you'd have heard that young man crying, 23 years of age, about crying, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? And I cried and prayed all night long, and that isn't the first night I cried and prayed through the night. But that night I cried and prayed, and I said, oh God, I've got to have something happen to my ministry. I'm tired of being a powerless preacher. I'm tired of going to the pulpit and preaching and nothing happens. I'm tired of it. And I prayed all night long. And at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, May 12, 1950, 36 years ago tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, I fell on my face in the pine thickets of East Texas and I said, oh God, I don't care what the price is. I give you all I've got. All to Jesus I surrendered. All to Him I freely gave. And I said, Lord, whatever the price is, I'm willing to pay it. Within 4 hours, I was branded. 36 years ago, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, our phone rang. I picked up the phone and a man said, your alcoholic father just died with a heart attack. And I said, dear God, I didn't mean that. And anybody that knows my ministry knows I've carried that brand for these 36 years. But be careful, folks. Don't you glibly say, Lord, you can have it all. I don't know how He'll brand you. I don't know what kind of an iron He'll use. I don't know what kind of pain He'll inflict. I don't know what kind of a sorrow you'll endure. I don't know, but I know this. You won't get by with giving all to Christ without God branding you right away. I know that much. But when you become all His, He's going to put a sign on you. He's going to brand you. In fact, I pastored 3 great churches in my life. I pastored 5 churches, but 3 of those churches were great churches. One was a little country church. I mentioned it a while ago, the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas on the Henderson Highway. Little country church. We took a census there. When I went there, we found 7 unsaved people within driving distance of the church in our neighborhood. 7. And in the 3 years, in the 3 months I was pastor there, we baptized 600 and some odd people out of those 7 folks. And folks came from far and near and were saved. That little country church, some of the sweetest, most powerful meetings ever been in my life. That little country church. But didn't come until God had branded me and said, son, I got my brand for you. Didn't come until my heart was broken about my daddy. And my daddy had died a drunkard's death. And as far as I know, had gone to hell. And God had said, okay, son, you gave you all. Here's the branding iron. And the branding iron of pain came to my soul. Better watch it. Maybe you wouldn't want to give all. Maybe you wouldn't want the branding. Oh, you'd like to be able to say you gave all, but I won't tell you, brother, when you give all, God's going to get the branding iron. God's going to put it against you. And God's going to say, okay, buddy, I'm going to give you some proof that you're mine. I pastored another great church. Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. A great church. Unbelievable, the ministry that God gave us in that little city of 27,000 people then. Now there's 160,000 people. That time, well, when I left, it's 27,000. When we went there, it's 23,000. But amazing, these knuckles right here knocked on every door in that city in 6 years, 8 months. I mean, I don't mean I sent somebody. I mean, everybody in every door in the city limits of that town was knocked on by these knuckles right here. We grew from 44 people in Sunday school to a high of 3,163, an average of 1,800. It wasn't unusual to have 2,000 in Sunday school. Not one bus ran. At one time, one family out of every seven in that entire city belonged to the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. One, every time you saw seven houses, one of them belonged to us. Great church. I remember when I got to the church and I served a little while, I'd never intended to pastor a big church. When I went to college, I double majored. I majored in Bible and also majored in history and a secondary education. So I could get, in those days, you had to have a certificate from the state to teach in a public school. Didn't have Christian school in those days. And I majored in secondary education and history so I could teach in a public school. I knew I never would pastor a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary. Little did I realize that was true. But I majored in history as well as Bible because I thought I'd be a country preacher all my life and pastor 40 or 50 people, have to make a living maybe teaching school somewhere. And I thought I'd be a country preacher. That church began to grow, and it got bigger than I was. I was just a young man in my middle 20s, and it got bigger than I was. And finally, the load got so heavy, I just couldn't bear it anymore. I just couldn't take it. It was just, I couldn't handle it. Didn't know how to do it. I never intended to pastor a big church. I used to dream of someday having 100 people in my congregation. And good night, in my fondest dreams, I never would have thought about ever preaching to this many people anywhere. And I remember I wrote out my resignation one night about 8 o'clock on a Saturday night to read the next morning. 1954 it was. And I said to my people, dear members of Miller Road Baptist Church, I love you with all of my heart, but I'm not able to continue being your pastor. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know all about drawing up a church budget. I don't know all about organization. I don't know all about administration. I don't know how to pastor a big church. 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve night, 1954, I put that piece of paper. Or was it 53? Maybe it was before New Year's, 54. I put that piece of paper on the floor in my office. And I said, dear God, unless you do something for me in the next few hours, I've got to read this resignation tomorrow. I put it on the floor, got on my knees, and I promised God I'd pray all night long. And I prayed all night long over that piece of paper. And I said, dear God, I can't stay. I don't know what to do from here. I don't know where to go from here. I'm a country preacher. I'm not a big church preacher. And I can't handle several hundred people. And you know it, and I know it. Unless something happens to me, I've got to resign. I prayed from 8 to 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, between 12 and 1 o'clock. I'm guessing about between 12 and 1 o'clock. Heard a knock on the study door. I went to the door and there stood a big, tall deacon named S.O. Barnett. S.O. Barnett had about as much hair as I have now, and both of them were messed up. And he was standing at the door, and his eyes were red. And I said, S.O., I said, what is it? What can I do for you? He said, preacher, what's wrong? And I said, what do you mean? He said, the Lord woke me up from a sound sleep and told me something's wrong with my preacher. He said, what's wrong, preacher? And I said, come in, S.O. And I showed him that piece of paper. And I said, I don't know where to go from here. I'm just a kid. I don't know how to pastor all these hundreds of people. I never intended to pastor a big church. I intended to be a country preacher. I don't know what to do. He said, preacher, let's pray. Yes, sir, Barnett and I prayed. We prayed till 1 o'clock. He prayed. I prayed. 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 We prayed from 1 o'clock till 2. I can hear that godly, tall, nearly bald-headed man saying, oh, God, we need our preacher. Don't let him leave. Whatever he needs, God, give it to him. He's got to have it. We've got to have him. We need him here. And I'd pray and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And we'd pray and pray and pray. And about 6 o'clock in the morning. I could not tell you how it felt. A few of you may understand what I'm saying right now. But I could not tell you how it felt. But the dear Holy Spirit of God, I could almost feel His hands on my shoulders. And I could almost feel His warm embrace. And I said, S.O., I believe God's doing something to me. I believe He has. About 6 o'clock in the morning, we'd prayed all night long. And S.O. said, Preacher, are you going to stay? And I said, if what I think happened has happened, I'm going to stay. And S.O. hugged me. And next morning, I stood up and tore that paper up and stayed in the church. And God gave us a great ministry there. And on my knees that night, I said, Dear God, you can have it all again. All of it. Wait a minute. In just about 2 weeks' time after that, I went home one night after church. We're sitting there eating a bite. And all of a sudden, I had pains in here. And all of a sudden, my arm, left arm, went numb like that. And I couldn't breathe well and broke out in perspiration. And Jim Lyons lived 2 houses down. And I called Brother Jim. And I said, Brother Jim, you better come quickly. Brother Jim came down and rushed me to Better Hospital. And I spent all night taking tests at Better Hospital. And I won't go into it. But I thought I had a heart attack. And they thought I did too. Went back to a heart specialist the next day. He said, you didn't have a heart attack, but he said, something's wrong with you. You'll have the rest of your life. He looked at me and he said, what emotional experience have you had in the last month? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you've been through something that's torn your body up. He said, you'll live with it the rest of your life. And I said, Doc, the only thing I can think about is I prayed all night to the night. And he said, whatever's caused your trouble, it's caused by an emotional thing. And I've got that thing, and I've had it now, and I won't share with you what it is. But I've had it now for many, many years. And every time I suffer, but every time I'm reminded of it, I say, I'm His. I'm His. I'm branded. I'm His. I belong to Him. Better watch it. You might not want to give all. You might not want to totally give all. You might not be willing to pay the price. You might not be willing to be a nut or a fool. You know, please don't misunderstand me. I don't claim brilliance. By the way, I don't claim ignorance either. But I don't claim brilliance. But I believe I could if I chose. I believe I could make so-called self-styled high-class preachers think I've got a little culture. You read my poetry and see if you don't think I'm that good. You read my books on the Holy Spirit and prayer and salvation and see if you don't think maybe I could be a Bible student and maybe could pass for a deeper lifer if I worked on it or didn't work on not doing it. You might better not give it all. You're not willing to pay the price. Some of you college students, you want to be accepted by the educational community. Some of you professors, you want the secular professors to look upon you as being sort of educated. You're not going to give all to Christ till you can say to the old rugged cross, I will never be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Remember when the Israelites were told about the offering? They said, take the skin of the offering and take some parts of the offering, take it outside the camp and burn it. Burn it. We live in Dallas, 30 miles from Fort Worth, Texas. Had the stockyards in Fort Worth. You go in certain parts of Fort Worth when the wind is blowing a certain way. Boy, you could smell that old flesh of those old animals burning. Oh, the odor was unbearable. And God is saying that you will stink to the world like an animal's flesh being burned will stink to the nostrils of man. If you give everything to God, maybe you don't want to be a nut for Christ. Maybe you don't want to be a nitwit and a fool for Christ. Maybe you want the heathen world to respect you. I doubt if you better give all to Him. Because He's going to brand you. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What he was saying was, I bear in my body the branding of Jesus Christ. These scars in my body, where the stones hit me in Lystra, where the blood gushed out and where the pain was unbearable, so unbearable until I died there, really. These scars here remind me I gave all to Jesus when I went on my first missionary journey. And these scars back here remind me when I was in Philippi when they took the cat of nine tails and lashed it across my back and beat me. Paul said, those scars remind me when I gave all to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not crown-wearing time. This is cross-bearing time. This is not the time for us to be crowned. This is the time for us to bear the cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach glad to bear. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange these trophies for a crown. That's crown time later. This is hating. This is crucifying time now. This is time to be hated. Oh, you say, preacher, now tell you what. There's a... Years ago, Dr. Rice had an evangelist down in Texas in the Galilean Baptist Church. And then this evangelist went down to the big Southern Baptist pastor down the road. He had a daughter who was an artist model. I wish you could hear Dr. Rice say it. And the evangelist said, we're having a meeting down here at the Galilean Baptist Church. Dr. Bassett, would you come and cooperate with us? Dr. Bassett twisted his Masonic ring. Dr. Rice subtly would say this. He twisted his Masonic ring and said, well, don't think we can cooperate with Dr. John Rice. Well, but look, we're trying to get everybody we can to cooperate in this meeting. Dr. Rice would say, he looked at the picture of his artist model there on the table and said, well, don't think we can cooperate with Dr. Rice. This evangelist came back to Dr. Rice and said, Dr. Rice, there's a stake on this church. Dr. Rice said, yes, we worked awful hard to get it there. We plan to keep it, too. A lot of people crown the old man now who crucified him while he's alive. We whitewashed the tombstones of Billy Sunday, and yet the honest truth is, if Billy Sunday came back to Chicago, he'd have a hard time finding a place to preach tonight. If Dwight L. Moody came back with his grammar, he'd have an awful hard time finding a place to preach in Chicago tonight. You know why? We got this peacetime army. The white glove Christian. But in case you want to give all to Jesus and belong to Him, get ready for the branding. I remember when I came to First Baptist Church as pastor. We got here, left Texas, August 23rd, Sunday afternoon, 1959. Walked in the pulpit here for the first time, first Sunday, August 30th, 1959. And the battle was rough. And I remember at the Bill Rice Ranch, I remember when I was going to resign the church. I made up my mind. At the ranch, I made up my mind to resign the church. And one night I tried to go to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And I tossed and tumbled, and about midnight I said, well, I guess God wants me to pray. If I can't sleep, if it's midnight and I'm not asleep, and I've gone to bed much before that, if I'm not asleep, I get up and pray. I figure God kept me awake for a reason. I'm not going to toss and tumble and count. I've counted sheep. I've counted elephants. I've counted horses. I've counted skunks. But no, I don't do that. I get up, and I'll pray. And I got on my knees beside the bed, and during that night, God told me He wanted me to stay in Hammond. And God told me, He said, there are going to be churches all over America that are not soul-winning churches and that are in bondage to committees and so forth, and where the pulpit is a slave to the pew. And said, some church needs to win the battle, some big church, to encourage young preachers across the country. And on my face that night, in a room, they have air conditioned room down there now. In fact, they have a room there that's called the Heil or something, because that's where it happened. And outside of that room, they have a sidewalk. At the end of that sidewalk, they have my handprint, and they have a little sign out there that says, "A certain day, 1960, Dr. Jack Hiles decided to stay at Hammond, and it happened in this room here." And they have a lovely apartment there that I forget what it's called, but they have my picture in there and an old Bible of mine there and so forth. And in that little room, room 11, the Widener Inn, Bill Rice Ranch, I said, "Dear Lord, I'm willing to stay. I don't want to stay, but I'm willing to stay. And I'll give all of it." And again, I gave all I had to Christ. God knows I did. Wasn't long till I had something happen to my body. Only a matter of a few weeks. And I got worried, sick about it. And something strange happened. There's not a moment, a waking moment of my life that I'm not aware that happened. Now, it's been now all these years. No, I don't pain. I just see the scar. That's all. God said, "Okay, if you're going to be mine in heaven, I'm going to brand you." And God branded me. I didn't go to the doctor about it for a long time because I thought I was dying with cancer. And I don't want a doctor to tell me I'm dying. I won't die in my sleep. And but I still got it. No, not a pain. Don't worry about me. Neither one of these physical things I'm talking about caused me any trouble now. I'm just aware of them. I can see the scars. It's something I can always be reminded of. You say, "Why?" Because God branded me. That's why. By the way, may I say this? When you become a servant of Satan, he'll brand you too. You may as well decide. You're going to get branded one way or the other. You're going to suffer as a servant of Satan or suffer as a servant of Christ, one or the other. You may as well suffer and get rewards for it when you die and be a servant of Christ, branded for Jesus, rather than suffer for a servant of the devil and die and go to hell someday, or die and face God unprepared someday. I was preaching last Tuesday morning in Colorado Springs. Looked back and sitting right back here, I saw a fella, and I've told this story a couple of times here through the years. I saw a fella sitting back there. I won't tell you his name, but I said, "I know that fella." I recall from the Bill Rice Ranch one year, he was there when I was preaching all week. And we went down to the softball field. Of course, I liked softball back in those days. I was young enough where I could play a little bit. And I went down and played. The preachers went down and played a softball game. Well, I took off my tie and took off my coat and my tie and rolled my sleeves up and showed them my muscles, you know. And of course, nobody could get the mind on the game after that. But all of us did. All of us had our sleeves rolled up. Or some of the fellows took off their shirts, had T-shirt on, but one fellow kept his sleeves rolled down like this and kept his shirt buttoned at the collar like that. A preacher, same preacher I saw last Tuesday out in Colorado Springs. And I said, "Hey, come on, man. Roll your sleeves up or take off your shirt and just wear a T-shirt or take your tie off, unbutton your collar. Join the fun." He said, "Don't think I'll play like this." Well, I shouldn't have kept on, but finally I kept on. "Come on, man. You look like you're at a wedding and not a ball game. Come on. Unfrock." And he blushed. And finally he called me over. We went over behind a tree over here, and he said, "Well, I'll tell him to tell you something." He said, "I can't roll my sleeves up." I said, "Why?" He said, "Years ago, before I got right with God, I was a Christian, but I wasn't right with God." He said, "I had some tattoos burned in my arms." He said, "There's one right here. There's one here." And he said, "Also, up high on my chest, I've got some wicked things." He said, "I've got some young people here, and if I rolled up my sleeve, my young folks would see what I used to be." He said, "Preacher, you don't understand it. These are marks I had made when I was in the world." The devil always brands you. When you belong to him, he'll brand you. Years ago, I went to a little town called New London, Texas for a revival meeting. Pastor's name was Travis Gibson. I probably shouldn't have told his name. His name was Travis Gibson. I was pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas, out in the country. New London, Texas was a town where one day in a school they had an explosion. 276 boys and girls were killed in one explosion of some wild East Texas gas in the school system. You drive down the street of that town, you see a great big marker, a memorial marker, right in the center of town. and you drive around it, and at the base you see 276, I think it's 276 names of the children that were killed just like that. I went to that little church. I preached that week. Parents all over that building had little children that died just not long before in that awful explosion. After the service that night, no, before the service, maybe I'm not sure when it was, before or after, but anyway, I went to the pastor's home, and I heard a noise. I said, "Pastor, what's that noise?" He said, "Brother Howell, I'll tell you what it is. Son, come here, son." He said, "My boy, little boy came running in like that. Little fella, crippled. One leg was that much shorter than the other. And as he walked like that." And I said, "What's the trouble with him?" And the pastor said, "Brother Hiles, when I was a young man, I didn't live for God. And we had our boy. And he said, for my sin, I had to pay. My boy got polio." That's back in the days before the salt vaccine. Brother, if you ever want to praise God for anything, you pray. You parents praise God for the salt vaccine. And he said, "My boy almost died." He said, "My boy has to wear braces and will have to the rest of his life." He said, "Come with me, Brother Howes. I want to show you my prayer closet." He took me straight back to a hallway from the living room. Opened the door. You could see the door in the hallway from the front door of the house. And there was a closet. He opened that closet door, and there was a pair of braces there. And Brother Travis Gibson said, "This is my prayer closet. I always pray here." He said, "Every time I kneel to pray, it reminds me to stay close to God." He said, "That's a symbol of when I serve the devil." I'm saying the devil gives his mark too. You say, "I don't want to be marked for Jesus. I don't want to have pain for Jesus." You're going to have it one way or the other. One way or the other. A shipbuilder, and I'll close with this. A shipbuilder, especially years ago, this was what they'd do. Would go out into the forest. He'd find a certain tree he wanted to use to put in the ship. He would take his axe, and with his axe, he'd scar the side of that tree and leave a certain mark on the side of that tree, letting him know that that tree belonged to him. He'd go through the forest looking for trees that he wanted to put in the ship. And he'd take his big old axe and whack a mark in the side. And then he would keep going until he got to it. And then, later on, when it came time to build the ship, he'd come back through the forest and find those trees that had his mark on the side. He'd come back for them. And he'd take those trees and put them in the ship. My Savior came one day and said, "I want you for my own." And I said, "Jesus, here I am. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee." He said, "Okay, I'm going to brand you." He branded me. He branded me with a father who died within 4 hours after I gave all. He branded me with a physical pain whose scars I still see and have seen now for 30 years. He branded me with another physical problem that I see every moment of my life. And one day, he's going to come back. He's going to say, "You're mine. Come on with me now." He's going to take me out of the forest. And I'll be with him forever. Won't matter then whether I was popular or not. It won't matter then about the hatred. It won't matter then that people would like to kill me. It won't matter then that folks attack me. It won't matter then. All that'll matter then is that I give my all while I was here on earth. Better watch it though. Those few people to whom I'm preaching tonight, if you ever decide to let him have it all, better watch it. It's going to smart for a while. But I'll guarantee you, for a lifetime, you will look at the scars that no longer pain, And you will say, glory to God, I'm His, and He's mine. Our Heavenly Father,